The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Well, here we go. I think we're live. Well, we're definitely live on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on Periscope. The question is, are we live on the Progressive Voices Network? I'm not sure. But, well, we will find out soon enough. Anyway, welcome to the show. It is a Monday. Yes, it's a Monday. I'm Nicole Sandler, again, coming to you live here at NicoleSandler.com and hopefully all those other places. We are now 5 days a week and working on doing it live on Progressive Voices. Hopefully it's all working well. I guess we'll find out soon enough. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Anyway, welcome to the show. You know, I started, I should back up for a few minutes here and tell you that this program used to be 5 days a week, and we were, oh, you like the new intro? Cool. Yes, I like that new background music too. So it used to be 5 days a week, and when I came back after battling lung cancer 4 years or so ago, I only came back 4 days a week because, honestly, I came back for the hours that Progressive Voices ran the show. And now that we're doing it live, they've given me back Mondays. So here we are. Now, I did start a few weeks ago doing this Monday music sunset session thing, and we're going to keep that going for good reason. Because especially now, I think we all need, we can never put politics aside. We can never put aside the insanity that we're living through these days. We can't put aside the craziness of what's happening to us, from the pandemic to George Floyd to Donald Trump. Obviously, this is casts a pall over everything we do, every breath we take. But it's all for that same reason that I believe we need to take a step back and find other things that give us joy. So for me, one of the things that I noticed that helped pull me out of the massive depression that I fell into after Donald Trump got elected, it was music. You know, I've always had music in my life. For those of you who don't know, I've been in broadcasting my entire adult life. I've been in radio since college, since 1979. So yes, that makes it over 40 years I've been doing radio. But I spent the major portion of my life doing music radio, but the kind of music radio that you don't have much these days. You know, the kind of music that allows you to explore new artists and discover new artists and get to, you know, not just the same top 40 songs over and over again. And again, sort of like the kind of talk radio I do, those stations don't exist on terrestrial over-the-air radio anymore. Well, the kind of music radio I did really doesn't either, except in a handful of cities. Anyway, to make a long story not quite so long, I decided that, to help pull me out of my funk, what I did was I got a huge iPod and I loaded basically, you know, my entire music library onto it. And I would listen. I'd made playlists, and it was like it was an escape for me. So for me, music does it. I also love movies. I like reading. We need to find things that will take your focus away from all the horrific things that are happening to us and around us. That's not to say to not pay attention to those things. I have a real problem with, in fact, one of my family members who doesn't watch the news. She doesn't listen to any of this stuff because it's too upsetting. Well, I'm sorry. Look at what's happening around us. We need to be upset sometimes. You need to look at what's happening in our lives. And sometimes the two converge. So what I'm doing now is on Mondays, we're doing the same thing as usual. The first half hour is going to be news and information and a bit of the funny and a rant or two. But for the second half hour of the show, when I usually have a guest, I'm bringing on musical guests. We started this about a month ago with a wonderful artist named Michael McDermott. It was followed by Dan Navarro. Last week, it was Sarah Hickman. And today, we're going to be joined by Lily Hayden. Now, those of you who ask, who tune in early and you hear the pre-show music playing, you know this. Hold on. Let me play a few seconds of it for you. This wonderful music. And I always get asked by people, who is it? What is that music you play before the show starts? Well, I think it's an unreleased piece of music from Lily Hayden, who's a magnificent violinist, songwriter, singer, composer, and so much more, and an activist. In fact, the last time I saw Lily Hayden in person was over 10 years ago, was at a party for Air America Radio when Air America was still going on. It was just like a client party. And there was Lily. And so she is an activist. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of everything, including, a new score she's got coming up for a movie called Ruth. I think it's called Ruth. Yes, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or Justice Ginsburg, in her own words. She scored the movie Anita, which was about Anita Hill. She did a recent TED Talk in which she performed a song called I Am a Man that she wrote for those sanitation workers who marched with Martin Luther King 50 years ago with the signs that said, I am a man. And boy, is it topical today or what? So we will combine music with activism, with the crap we're facing in our daily lives. But you know how I like to start the show with something humorous, because we tend to get kind of serious. And of course, our old pal Randy Rainbow came through for me. Randy Rainbow, quite prolific. And it had been a couple of weeks or so since his last wonderful video. Well, he did one again. This time, it was, I'm just going to play it for you. We played a song last week by an artist named Courtney J called Bunker Boy. It was a quickie. It was like a minute and a half long, you might recall. Anyway, Randy Rainbow's new song is called The Bunker Boy. So let's start off with that, and then we'll get down to the serious stuff, okay? All right, well, take it away. Well, take it away, Randy Rainbow.
Donald, 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 Donald! Have you guys seen the president? Donald,
Donald!
He sounded pretty angry from the tweet that he just sent. Donald, Donald,
Donald,
Donald! He said he'd make the country great, at least that was his promise. Hey, Ivanka, it's Randy. Have you seen... Thanks. And now that it's a mess, you think at least he tried to calm us. Donald, Donald,
Donald,
Donald! There's riots all around for an injustice that's systemic, and suffering and sadness from a dangerous pandemic. I sexted Jared Kushner and I drove by Mitch McConnell. I looked on every golf course and I checked every McDonald's. His Adderall kicks in, and since it makes him kind of hyper, he acts like he's a big shot. But he's scared to wet his diaper.
Ooh.
Donald.
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 Donald. Guess who's hiding in the basement? It's that coward,
the Bunker Boy.
Who's dividing? Cause it makes him feel empowered.
The Bunker Boy.
A commander-in-chief might address all the grief and what's happening out in the streets.
But he's only a clown, so he hides underground and he sits on the toilet and tweets.
So be careful not to scare him. He's a flyer.
The Bunker Boy.
At the height of the protest outside the White House, President Trump was moved to the bunker.
I wonder if there's Wi-Fi and a special tanning station. I bet it smells like hamburgers and quiet desperation. I hear they had to childproof the bunk bed that they got him. Does he have a little ladder? Doesn't need one. He's a bottom.
I am your president of law and order. I will fight to protect you.
Who's that pushing civil rights off? It's our hero.
The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy. Bunker Boy.
Who's that pushing with the lights off? Watching
heroes. The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy. Bunker Boy.
Oh, he loves to berate every city and state, because you know how he likes to act hard. Then he heads for the hills and he Netflix and chills while he calls out the National Guard. For the camera he mugs as he calls them all thugs while they beg him to stand up and lead. Then he sends in the cops for his own photo ops and he acts like he knows how to read.
Who's that codger? Who's that crass con? Who's Maloney?
The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy?
Bunker Boy.
Who's that dodger with no mask on? It's that phony.
So he lies there alone and he gabs on the phone to his girlfriends like Putin and Kim. He's embarrassed because they're all laughing at us, but they're all only laughing at him.
All only laughing at him. Donald. Who's that hiding in the basement? It's that coward.
The Hunger Boy.
I will solve the problem.
The Hunger Boy.
Cooperation, not contempt.
The Hunger Boy.
I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order.
Don't fall for that bull.
Oh, yeah. He's your president of law and order. The Bunker Boy. Yeah. By the way, did you notice, you know, if I'm sure you were watching over the weekend and some of the coverage, and, you know, Trump put up all that fencing all around the White House. So he's in a double bunker. And people started hanging works of art and notices and all kinds of stuff on the fence all around the White House. Turned it into a virtual art gallery and a place for those protest signs to, you know, be hung. Well, those fuckers overnight took down all the signs. So you know what that means if you're in Washington, D.C.? I have a feeling signs will magically reappear each day, and then Trump's goons will take them down each night. Unbelievable. Yes, he finally has his wall, such as it is. Unbelievable. All right, so we're starting something new. As you know, we're on live on the Progressive Voices Network. Previously, you know, this show did air at this time on Progressive Voices, but I was doing it a couple of hours earlier and then having to end the show at 4, quickly turn it around and upload the podcast so it would run on PV at 5. But with a new partnership with TuneIn, we're trying something new, and that includes ads. Now, if you get my podcast or, you know, listen in other ways, you won't get the ads. But the ads are important because Progressive Voices needs to help pay for the stream. And certainly, you know, I love your donations, but frankly, you guys aren't quite generous enough. So we need ways to supplement the income. So obviously, I will love your contributions and donations, and you can subscribe at NicoleSandler.com, and I will be forever in your debt. But we're going to try something. I'm going to try to fire off a commercial break on Progressive Voices. Will it work? I don't know. But, you know, look, it's a work in progress. So we're going to give it a try. Oh, I need to set my timer so I know when to come back, because, frankly, those ads that are going to run on Progressive Voices are not going to run on, you know, the other streams. So let's see if it works. Okay, so let me say, we'll be right back on the Progressive Voices Network. All right, technically, Progressive Voices should be in commercials. Whether they are or not, I don't know. Maybe one of the people, maybe in the Nicole Sandler room, chat room, can monitor it and tell me and let me know. In the meantime, while either they're running commercials or they're not, I'm going to play you one more musical related thing. Because when I talk about how music has powers to ease depression, to ease anxiety, to lessen the stress, I'm not kidding. And I point you towards one of my favorite artists, Bruce Springsteen. And it was back in 2001. In fact, it was the afternoon of September 11th. 2001, that Bruce Springsteen was in Seabright, New Jersey, near where he lives, when he was driving down the street and somebody in another car saw him and shouted out, "Bruce, we need you." This was 9/11. This was as the day the towers fell. And Bruce Springsteen responded with an album a few months later called The Rising. That was so powerful. And if you've not heard The Rising in that light, I encourage you to do so. Well, so now fast forward a few years. There was a shooting, a police killing in New York City. And a man, I want to get his name right. I don't want to screw it up because it's too important. So I want to get the name of the man correctly. His name was Amadou Diallo. Amadou Diallo. He was killed at the hands of New York City police officers who, you're listening on PV and no ads are running. Okay, well, good to know. So our experiment, I don't have to worry about ending the stop break. We'll have to test it another time. I fired off the thing that I was supposed to fire off, but it didn't work. Anyway, so Bruce Springsteen did a concert in New York City when he premiered this song, a song he wrote after learning about the shooting of Amadou Diallo. He premiered it during a 10-show run in Madison Square Garden in 2000. And, well, I'm not going to play for you the song because I'll get copyright violated, but I want to read to you the lyrics, all right? And if you don't know the song, you need to find it. American Skin, 41 Shots. 41 shots, and we'll take that ride. Cross the bloody river to the other side. 41 shots cut through the night. You're kneeling over his body in the vestibule, praying for his life. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin. 41 shots. 41 shots. 41 shots. Lena gets her son ready for school. She says, on these streets, Charles, you've got to understand the rules. If an officer stops you, you promise me you'll always be polite and that you'll never, ever run away. Promise mama you'll keep your hands in sight. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. No secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin. 41 shots. 41 shots. 41 shots. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it in your heart? Is it in your eyes? It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. 41 shots, and we'll take that ride. Cross this bloody river to the other side. 41 shots, I got my boots caked with this mud. We're baptized in these waters and in each other's blood. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin. And the chorus, 41 shots, rings out again and again and again. And actually, I went through to count to see, because they repeat 41 shots so many times. And I counted in the official lyrics from SpringsteenLyrics.com how many times he sang 41 shots, thinking maybe it was 41. But I don't think it made it to 41. That's how many shots 41 shots is. And just the other day, Bruce Springsteen took over the microphone at the E Street channel. There's a Bruce Springsteen channel on Sirius XM. And he played the song. He played Disc Jockey for a while, and he played the song. And I just want to play for you what he said after playing that song. This was just last week. It was actually, I believe, June 3rd, when the protests had begun and the ugliness was happening. And here's what Bruce said after playing 41 shots, American Skin. It's Bruce Springsteen.
Eight minutes. That song is almost 8 minutes long. And that's how long it took George Floyd to die, with a Minneapolis officer's knee buried into his neck. That's a long time. That's how long he begged for help and said he couldn't breathe. The arresting officer's response was nothing but silence and wait. Then he had no pulse, and still it went on. That goes out to Seattle, to New York, to Miami, to Atlanta, to Chicago, to Dallas, to Philadelphia, to Washington, to Los Angeles, to Asbury Park, to Minneapolis, and to the memory of George Floyd. May he rest in peace. As we speak, 40 million people are unemployed. 100,000 plus citizens have died from COVID-19 with only the most tepid and unfeeling response from our White House. As of today, our black citizens continue to be killed unnecessarily by our police on the streets of America. And as of this broadcast, the country was on fire and in chaos.
And it was. That broadcast was the evening of June 3rd, so not even a week ago. Now, the protests since then have turned much more peaceful. Not that they weren't peaceful to begin with, because I know that the people who are out there protesting, carrying signs that say Black Lives Matter, protesting the police epidemic of violence inflicted on mostly African Americans, but you know, that's not to say that they don't get so power drunk that they take out their anger and their frustrations and their rage on others. But it's black people in this country who've gotten the brunt of it. Just look at the last few years. It's just horrible. And so finally, this, you know, the killing of George Floyd, which we saw on video, the every agonizing second of that 8 minutes and 46 seconds, it's, you can't get it out of your head. We watched it on this show 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago today. Do you believe it's only been 2 weeks? It seems that our world has changed immeasurably since then. And you know, I feel guilty in a sense that I have not gone out and participated in any of the protests. Frankly, we are still a nation, look, dealing with two mega crises. One, of course, this crisis of police violence and racism, just institutionalized racism in our country that permeates every nook and cranny. And we've learned over the last couple of weeks that it's not only here in the United States. We're seeing Black Lives Matter protests in countries around the world. From England to France to Spain to Italy to Belgium to Australia. I mean, it's astounding. And you know, the more I watch the world's people coming together to say enough, the more it warms my heart. And I see these just millions of people out in the street worldwide. And, you know, I'm happy when I see in certain cities people are wearing masks. It hurts me when I see in others they're not. Now, as somebody who turned 60 6 months ago, I'm in that age group. And as somebody who's down a lung because I fought and survived lung cancer 4 years ago, I'm being very cautious. My husband is also older than I am, and he has asthma, and so we're not leaving the house. But I'm so with them. And that's the thing. We each have to participate in whatever way we can, however we can, and whether that's making music or doing a radio show or writing a letter to the editor or cheering on the protesters as they're out in the streets because they are younger and healthier and they can do it with less risk. I'm in awe of the people who are marching. I'm with them in spirit. And frankly, I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of getting hit by tear gas. I've been pepper sprayed by Fort Lauderdale police before. Thank you very much. I guess I'm a little afraid of a rubber bullet because when they call them less lethal ammunition, what the fuck are they talking about? I've seen pictures of people locally here in Fort Lauderdale. A woman had her eye socket broken and was blinded. Somebody else has a hole through her head. Rubber bullets are not less lethal weapons. And frankly, what the police did a week ago in clearing out the protesters at from Lafayette Square, there was nothing less lethal about that. This was the power of the United States unleashing the force of the military on its own people. If ever you felt that now might be the time to stand up and be counted, now is the time. And the best thing you can do, if whether or not you go out in the streets, is vote, is get involved, is do the things you need to do to be involved, to show your support. So now there's news. I should share with you some of the news that went on today. I'll tell you what. I am going to, well, damn it. You know what? I'll play what's news only because we are, I'm waiting for our guest to show up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to do our Music Monday, and we've got the wonderful Lily Hayden joining us today. You know what? I'm just going to try to do some of it live because I can and see if Lily joins us. Let me make sure she hasn't sent me a message or anything. It's times like this. I could use a producer, just a second hand of, I don't see her. All right. Hopefully she will be joining us soon. All right. Let me tell you a little bit of what's going on in the news because there's a lot happening. So
I read the news today.
Oh boy. All right. So, where do we begin? The former Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd 2 weeks ago in Minneapolis, Derek Chauvin, appeared in court this morning for the first time since being charged. He's been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. And I believe they set a bail for him at $1.25 million. So that's a good thing. 9 of the 12 members of the Minneapolis City Council have announced that they intend to defund and dismantle the city's police department. Council President Lisa Bender said they may shift police funding toward community-based strategies instead and discuss how to eventually replace the current police force, though she stressed that that is not in the short term. Again, this comes after Minneapolis on Friday officially banned police chokeholds in the wake of George Floyd's death. Now, the thing is that they're not really. I'm troubled by the language of defunding and dismantling the police department because it's not what it sounds. And we're going to have to do a program on this sometime in the next few days. I think this is a messaging issue, and this just emerged spontaneously, without any of the people who might be, messaging experts within the movement. It just someone said defund the police, and someone else said, "Yeah, that sounds good. Let's defund the police." Well, the problem is that a lot of police forces are ridiculously overly financed. They have huge budgets and they keep spending more and more money on weapons and other policing apparatus in order to hold the people back, if that's, you know, that's a way to put it. What they're really talking about is taking some of the massive amounts of money that's being poured into a lot of these police divisions and putting them into community efforts, putting money back into community centers, community efforts to help people rather than put them down. I'm saying it very clumsily, but I promise you we're going to get into this topic hopefully later this week because we must, because it is that important. So, all right. Now I got to figure out why I'm not, I'm not seeing our, all right. I got to find out why we're not seeing my session with, there's Lily. Okay. So, I'll tell you what, stick around after the show. We'll do the full, extended what's news version for you. But right now I want to move into our guest and let me make sure that I've got everything working the way I need it to work. We even have a new intro for our Monday music. So let me play that. And again, I told you this is a work in progress. So, all right, we're going to move into the music portion of our show. Here we go.
We could all use some healing these days, so we turn to the power of music. Each Monday, we welcome another artist to share some songs and stories as the Nicole Sandler Show presents the Monday Music Sunset Sessions.
All right. And I believe I can bring up Lily Hayden. I'm hoping. Lily, bear with me. You're my first, so I'm having trouble getting your video. I've got your picture here. I'm going to bring you up here while I figure out how to bring you into that shot. Hello, Lily Hayden. Wait, I'm not. Oh, hold on. I don't have your audio yet. Wait 1 second. I got to figure this out. Oh, best laid plans and all that stuff, right? I know. I've got you muted. I think that's what it is. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. See, we should have done a run through. Hold on 1 second, Lily. I got to get your. I do have your. Okay, talk to me. Lily Hayden, you there?
Hi.
There you are.
I am here. I'm going to hold the mic right next to my mouth.
Okay, you don't even have to do that. Back it off. That was me. So, Lily, you won't see me. I see you. I'm trying to bring your video into a thing so we're here together. But while I've got you up on the screen, let me introduce Lily Hayden. I'd rather people look at you than me anyway. So, Lily Hayden is an amazing musician. She's not only a singer and a songwriter, she's a Grammy Award-winning musician, violinist, recording artist, film composer, child prodigy, and actress. Lily Hayden graduated from Brown, though, with a degree in political science, but then started jamming with bands and led to legendary collaborations throughout her lengthy career with people from Herbie Hancock to Roger Waters to Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. We'll talk about that. To George Clinton, the master of funk, who called her the Jimi Hendrix of the violin. Lily Hayden, thank you so much for joining us here. And I was mentioning to the listeners before, the last time we saw each other in person was actually at an Air America party all those years ago.
I remember.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you make great music, and you're an activist. Sorry, I'm trying to get our shot together, and so I'm fumfering here a little bit. Why don't you tell us? I want to play a song that we can play and get this going, and I'll figure all this technical stuff out on my end. But you have a new EP coming out. It's going to be your first album of solo works that's not a film score in about 6 years. Tell us what's going on with this. Who's on it? What's happening with it? When's it coming out? All that.
So I have been working on this on and off for a while. These are all songs that are meaningful to me on some level, where, you know, anti-war, you know, enough is enough sentiments, you know, not another life taken in my name. And I, you know, songs of solidarity and I think drawing of lines, which is really what this time is about, you know, standing for what we really believe in together. And I'm brokenhearted that we don't have Bernie Sanders at the helm, mm-hmm. but the movements that he championed and that he enabled to coalesce around his campaign are what is making the change now. And that's why we're seeing movement in the police department, hopefully.
Hopefully. And, now, you know, now you don't have to hold the mic up. I can hear you. I had no idea until I started researching you, knowing we were going to talk today, that you had your degree is in political science. So this has always been your interest. But when you finished school, you immediately went into music. You never had illusions of a political career? It was always art and music?
Well, I thought I was going to be a human rights lawyer. And in college, I worked for the East Harlem Interfaith Coalition for Fair Banking. So I really got into issues of redlining and economic rights. What I realized was that the incremental change that the policymakers are making I have so much respect for it, but the immediacy of,
hello.
The immediacy of the impact and the connection that I made with music seemed to be the other side of the change that I was hoping to create. So I've championed a lot of causes. I play for every benefit that asks. I've played for, at the UN, I've played for one of my dearest friends is the president of the Global Security Institute, which is the preeminent NGO focused on nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation. And that's Jonathan Granoff. And it was an organization started by Alan Cranston.
Sure.
And I'd love to introduce you to him. Maybe you'll have him on.
He's
genius person. And I have been involved with, you know, I've protested on Washington many times. Yes. I've shown up whenever I can. But I think that at the root of pretty much every policy that is a problem is a person who doesn't feel their own heart. Is a person who's out of touch with their humanity and the creative principle. And this is going to sound airy-fairy, but where music is medicine is that it gets people to feel themselves. And once you can feel yourself, you're more likely to be able to feel the person in front of you. And I think, you know, it was so telling. You see that, I think it was the Minneapolis police chief who says, yeah, he was involved in three fatal shootings, and not one of them bothered him. Well, that's a sociopath.
Oh, my God. Yes, right? It is.
That's
absolutely
sociopathic behavior. So what I feel that music does is it allows us, it causes us to feel our own hearts and then hopefully feel the hearts of the people in front of us.
Most definitely.
And so that's the microcosmic level. And then, of course, one hopes to, you know, when we won our Grammy, we were able to reach a broader audience. And I won the Grammy with my group, this exquisite group called Opium Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with an Iranian Persian hammer dulcimer player. It's called Santur. And he's Muslim. And that's Hamid Saidi. And Itai Disraeli, who is my husband, and he's Israeli. And we've got MB Gordy, and he's Christian. And I was raised with all faiths, but I am of Jewish descent. But we are, in essence, an act of peace. You know, we're peacemaking through harmony. So we are simply the essence of the collaboration and the community and the communion and the understanding and the camaraderie that I think can really be a microcosm of a blueprint for how to make peace. And in fact, we just did a TED Talk that will be coming out very soon to be timed with the release of our next album.
Oh, cool. Okay, we're going to get into the TED Talk in a moment. I want to talk for a moment, though. Lily Hayden is with us. It's Haydn, in case you're wondering. Google her. You'll see all kinds of stuff. LilyHayden.com is her website. You score, we mentioned your new EP that's coming out is your first record of original solo Lily Hayden music in 6 years. But in the last 6 years, you've been scoring a lot of music for film and TV. And some of the mm-hmm. projects, I wonder how you choose the projects you work on. You've got one coming out, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Tell us about this film and how this came about.
So this is the second film that I've scored for this director. Her name is Frida Lee Mock. She won the Academy Award for a beautiful documentary called Maya Lin. And she found me through, I was part of the Hans Zimmer, sort of stable of composers.
Okay.
And I scored Anita for her, the documentary about Anita Hill. And I just heard on Intercepted, Jeremy Scahill was quoting it, and I heard my music. I was
nice. Yeah.
That was cool. Anyway, of course, it's in the context of the most horrible, rape and allegations. Yes. But I focused on what really matters, which is my music. I'm joking.
Your music.
So Frida Lee Mock called me and said she was doing this film about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and of course, being a poli-sci major and I mean, she's one of the great heroes.
She's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Bastions of our liberal democracy. And I like to remind people, I think it's very important because I, being a Bernie advocate, and of mm-hmm. course, the progressives feel a little bit railroaded and sort of uninspired by Biden. And of course, knowing his spotted past, and of course, mm-hmm. in the context of Anita Hill, knowing that he was complicit in Clarence Thomas's appointment. But I think it's important to note that Bill Clinton, who we all recognize as being sort of the personification of neoliberalism that ultimately led to Trump, that Bill Clinton was the person who appointed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is, we can all agree, one of the last bastions of our liberal democracy. So we really have to remember that even a neoliberal, that if for no other reason for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, please make sure we get out and vote and vote for Biden, because it could not be of greater importance.
Right.
And all of the little victories that we have as progressives, like exonerating the Standing Rock protesters, mm-hmm. They come from the courts. We can kiss those victories goodbye if we lose the next election.
Well, and it's already headed that way because of what Donald Trump has done to our courts. So it is so imperative. We need to not only the Democrats need to take back the Senate to stop this packing of the courts with Republican judges.
Absolutely. So just back to your question, which was how did I score RBG? So there was a wonderful documentary called RBG, but
yes,
this one that's coming out is called Ruth, Justice Ginsburg in her own words, and it's really soulful and compelling. And I'm so proud to be part of it. And then the project I'm working right now is called Ginny and Georgia. I guess I'm allowed to say it. This is the first time I will have spoken it out loud, actually.
Is this the TV show?
It's a TV show for Netflix. It's my first TV show, and I've done a ton of indie films, but this is the first time I will have been a part of the studio system. And so, and I'm hoping that will give other people permission to bring me onto their projects. So,
absolutely.
If you're watching,
now, Lily Hayden, I want to play one of your videos. On these Monday music things, we have live performances. We're not set up for that today. You're going to come back when the new record is coming out and do a live performance for us. But so today we're going to play a couple of videos. This one is a video from a film you scored. I think it was just fairly recently, Driver X.
Yeah, it came out. It came out last year, and it's called Driver X. It's a really great little indie film about a guy who drives for a rideshare, like an Uber kind of company.
Uh-huh.
It's starring Patrick Fabian, who's one of the stars of Better Call Saul.
Right.
And he's wonderful in it. And it really speaks to sort of the zeitgeist of the gig economy and people feeling sort of obsolete and there not really being any comfortable place for us to really reside and sort of the dismantling of the capitalist system, essentially. But it's funny. And this song is called Ain't Like It Used to Be.
Ain't Like It Used to Be. It's Lily Hayden from the Driver X, well, the music for the movie Driver X, and Lily's in it. And you'll see if you're watching YouTube. Otherwise, enjoy the song. Whoops. Here we go. Hayden. Oh, yeah. That ain't like it ain't what it used to be. Oh, so good. And the video is just wonderful. I will post the video on my blog at NicoleSandler.com for those who didn't, who were just hearing the audio stream, because they need to see that video as well.
Thank you. And that was made, I should give a few shout outs. The guy who made the video is also the filmmaker of the movie Driver X.
Oh, wow.
So that's Henry Burial. And that I also scored a wonderful film by him called The House That Jack Built, which is also really great to watch. And the male voice in that is Itai Disraeli, my husband.
Ah.
He didn't want to be in the video because he felt like it was too, he didn't, the lyrics were too depressing.
Oh.
And he didn't want to be putting depressing, he didn't want his face associated with depressing lyrics.
But you had Patrick Fabian, who's the actor who plays the lawyer who was Michael McKean's business partner in Better Call Saul. Great
yeah.
show. Yes. So Lily Hayden is with us. There's so much to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about touring with Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, because yeah. I know, right? I mean, and we had an interesting conversation the other day where you told me your fan base is built up with a lot of people from all walks of life. And when you tour with Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, you're going to get fans who maybe don't have the same political ideology as you and I do. And so you said that they interact with you, and when you try to tell them what's going on, they come back with fake news.
They come back with fake news, and it's really disheartening. It used to be that I could, you know, I try to actually break it down to, I just want to breathe.
Uh-huh.
I just want to uh-huh. have a glass of water that isn't going to kill me. I just want to be able to walk down the street and not get killed by the cops.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want the people around me to not be so desperate that they need to loot things, loot places in order to survive. You know, I just, you know, when you break it down to basic human needs,
mm-hmm.
I think we all kind of, unless you're dealing with a total sociopath, when you break it down to basic human needs, you do find common ground. And if nothing else, the fiddle seems to bridge the gap between every single culture, every culture that, you know, whether it's the South, if, you know, it's the Appalachian, it's the total, you know, you know, or if it's India, wherever you go, somebody's got a fiddle.
Right. And you've been playing since you were like 7 years old, right?
Yeah. And my mom, who is a stand-up comedian, used to joke that I learned to play violin in the womb, and it was very irritating.
That's great. Lily Hayden, you've done a number of TED Talks. And you shared a couple with me. One specifically that we said we were going to focus on today because it speaks to the times we're living through. So, I'm going to play just, you open this, the video anyway, it's about a 15, 20 minute piece. You open with a song and you come out of that song. And I just want to play the little, it's about a 2 minute talk that you give before you lead into the next song. So to give people an idea of what this TED Talk was about, then I want to come back and talk to you about the song you're going to perform before we play it. We will play that performance. So this is Lily Hayden from a TED Talk. When was this done? How long ago was this?
This was last year. It was actually for TEDx Women.
Okay.
And so I thought it was funny to do a TED Talk called I Am a Man.
At TEDx Women. Okay, got it. All right. So here we go. Take it away, Lily Hayden.
So that was a song from a film I scored called Anita, about iconic gender warrior Anita Hill, on whose shoulders the Me Too movement was born, and also the last 25 years of the women's movement has been standing. Anita said that sexual harassment is less about sex than it is about power, domination of one over another. And like so many of us in this room, I'm a survivor of sexual assault, and my experience was one of not being seen, like I didn't matter. And when you're there, when you don't matter, you're there to be dominated. And I think that this is at the root of every issue we face, whether it's economic inequality, police brutality, gun violence, it's domination. Homophobia, racism, mass incarceration, it's domination. Man-made climate change and the destruction of our water and air, animal cruelty, and perpetual war. It's domination. One person or entity leveraging its position of power over another who it deems to be insignificant. And all of our movements, whether it's Me Too or LGBTQ or Black Lives Matter or the peace movement, you name it, we have something in common. Our fight for the right to be treated with respect and dignity. And none of our movements will ever truly triumph until we collectively move from a domination paradigm to a paradigm of inclusion and compassion and respect for each other in our daily lives and for the other. Until we realize there is no other, there's just us. And this was never more profoundly and succinctly stated than in the signs that the sanitation workers wore when they marched with Martin Luther King. I am a man.
I am a man. And Lily Hayden, so then you go into the intro to the next song, I Am a Man, but rather than play it, and I wanted people to see that, how you tied it all together. All these movements that we've been talking about, we're all interconnected. But you focused on I Am a Man. Tell us how this came about and what about this song that we're going to see the video and listen to the music.
So several years ago, I was asked to perform for the premiere of a film about Martin Luther King for the Civil Rights Museum. And I had really not ever learned about the story of those iconic signs that the sanitation workers wore when they marched with Martin Luther King. I am a man. It was in 1968, and the sanitation workers in Memphis they were living under subhuman conditions, and they had no protection. And two of the sanitation workers were crushed by a garbage truck and they had no reparations. And it basically, that was the last straw. And the city went on strike and Martin Luther King came in and they marched. And instead of, and their signs didn't say higher wages or safer working conditions. They simply said, I am a man, which was to say, I deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. Mm-hmm. And it was the most succinct message of what we are all saying. At the center of every issue that we face as a species, as a planetary, as a planetary family, is I am here. It says, I am here. I will not be erased. I will be counted. I deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. And that is what is at the center of what we're talking about now. And that's why, and it's so important to talk about the specificity of Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. because the Black lives are the ones currently being the most disregarded and dominated by law enforcement. And also, we as a human family need to come together because we can all relate and we all know that we need to treat each other with respect and dignity. So these four words just seemed like they were the most, it was like haiku. It was so profound. It was so perfect. And it could inform every movement. And I realized that none of our movements will ever truly triumph until we learn from these four words, until we get to the essence of what they're saying, which is we must treat each other with respect and dignity. And so it was my dream to sing this song with a multicultural choir of, you know, every race, age, gender. And when they asked me to perform for this TED conference, I said I wanted to do it with, you know, a 30-piece choir of every, you know, a diverse choir. And so we got it together and it was such a thrill to be able to do that. And
okay, so we're going to play it here. Just so you know, for the Progressive Voices listeners, we're going to run out of time, so the song will play us out. But I will post the entirety of this TEDx talk on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, along with today's podcast, so you can hear the whole thing. And if you're listening to anything other than Progressive Voices, stick with us because you'll hear it, and we'll come back on the other side to talk about this song and the wonderful performance. It's Lily Hayden from a TEDx talk with I Am a Man.
So how do all of our movements come together to heal what can ultimately only be healed collectively without whitewashing or silencing important individual voices and experiences? Now's not a time for generalizations, I know. I think we do it around a central concept, though. Concept of respect and dignity, the crystallization of which is in these iconic signs. I am a man. So 50 years later, can we learn from the direct unifying words of these freedom fighters? Not getting hung up on the word man, with all due respect to these men's specific experience. But rather, can they be a guiding light around which we come together, really seeing each other and hearing each other as one human family, moving beyond domination and division into song?
Wow. Oh, Lily Hayden. Oh, wow. That is so powerful and so beautiful and so amazing.
Thank you.
Did you write that song for that moment?
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
There are very few lines in there, but one of the lines is a quote from Dr. Reverend Billy Kiles, who was best friends with Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said, "You can kill the dreamer. You can never kill the dream."
Wow. Oh, beautiful. I got goosebumps. And that choir, who were they? How did they all come together?
It was a labor of love. So the organizers of TED reached out to the local diverse choirs. You know, we had gospel singers. We had a queer choir. We had Native Americans. We had who else? We had Latinos. We had disabled people, you know, disabled choir. It was just everyone who felt like they wanted to be a part of the conversation.
That's amazing. Lily Hayden, again, find her, Google her. She's done a few TEDx talks, so there are a number on different subjects. This is just one that worked for the moment we are living in.
And one actually on the big TED stage, which is just a violin performance, and it's called The Last Serenade.
Oh, wow.
And it was a piece that I channeled for my mom when she was on her deathbed. So it was really meant to, it was given in whatever way, you know, music is given. It's a pure offering. So if anyone is feeling like they need a little, they need a little cry or a little catharsis, this might be just for you.
Okay. Well, we'll check
I
that out.
I do my
out.
Best work at for funerals.
Then there's Opium Moon, which we just barely touched on, which is the band you put together, the album for which you won a Grammy, what, 2 years ago? So 2 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And year and a half ago.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And that was just a moment.
And that album is called, it's self-titled. And that album, do you have that album, Nicole?
I do not have that album.
I'm going to send it to you because they're really, honestly, I've never made an album that I can listen to without being self-critical and forget that it's me playing. And this is just, it's one of those albums that you put on and you just instantly chill out. Or if you happen to be on a date night, you feel like instantly taking off your clothes, even if you're feeling fat.
Good to know. Okay. Send it. I could use that.
Yeah. It's like this sensual meditative. It's not trying to, I could never have made this album in my 20s. Hmm. It's an album that, with like this kind of sophisticated, like this quiet virtuosity that just, it's just sumptuous. I love it. And say this without, you know, at the risk of sounding self-aggrandizing, because it's a collaboration that I could have never created on my own without these exquisite musicians. And it's just like instant magic.
So will there be another Opium Moon album?
Yes. In fact, we have an album ready to go. We're still figuring out our distribution situation. The pandemic has changed
the
landscape, as you can imagine. So we're not sure exactly how it's, you know, we had a record deal all set up and everything has been put on hold in that way. But people need content and they need music that makes them feel their own hearts. And this is that music. So it's called Opium Moon is the first record. The next record is going to be all of the sort of sensual nighttime, you know, the nighttime kind of slow music. And then we also have another side where we absolutely rock out and make you want to dance and
nice.
Am I allowed to say fuck?
You can say anything you want on the show. Yes.
So we're going to have, it's going to be a double CD, which will be basically day and night. So day and night.
Oh, nice. So that's coming, but you still, sometime in the middle, you have this Lily Hayden EP coming out. Yes.
Yeah. So when the show for Netflix comes out, and I believe that's going to be in October, I've, I've been collaborating with this wonderful other composer named Ben Bromfield, and he and I have been scoring it, but I've also been writing sort of songs for it as well. And although Netflix owns all of those now, I thought it was an opportunity to you know, reconnect to the people who like my solo work, you know, me as a solo artist. So this has, and I sent you a song.
I did. I figured we'll end on that. We can go out that. So this is the setup for it. So
this is a song I wrote with, I co-wrote with my wonderful friend and, you know,
Marvin Etzioni.
The distant family, Marvin Etzioni.
Marvin, can I just say, Marvin is one of the nicest men ever. Marvin was the guy in Lone Justice. He worked with Maria McKee, and he's just one of the nicest people. I haven't seen Marvin in over 20 years, I mean, since I left L.A., but I always adored him. He was just, he's a wonderful man. Please tell him I say hello.
I will, and you should have him on your show.
I definitely should. Absolutely. Would love to.
So anyway, we wrote this song, and it really just speaks to the time, and you know, it's so simple. It's just called More Love, and also on the EP are slightly more sort of complicated sentiments, like you know, a song called Sayonara, which is Sayonara to the drum, or it basically enough is enough is enough. And in fact, I'm losing my train of thought because I can't remember the lyric, but essentially enough is enough.
Happens
we can all
to me
relate
all the time.
To that. Not another in my name, not another life taken in my name.
Gotcha.
And, it's some passionate violin playing with some fierce, band, performances and, you know, they're protest songs and just a simple offering of love.
Okay. We'll go out. We'll end on that note with that song. Again, it is called More Love. Lily Hayden, what a pleasure this has been. I'm sorry for the technical stuff, but I'm working out all the bugs.
I am so delighted to be chatting with you. I think you're wonderful. I follow you, and I so appreciate your voice. You're wonderfully progressive voice, and we need you now more than ever. And so please keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to coming back and performing live and bringing these songs to life. And by the way, this song has not been played anywhere else.
Oh, so this is a premiere.
I performed it live, but this recording has not been played on the radio, so this is actually a world premiere.
Okay, so we will end with More Love from Lily Hayden from her forthcoming EP. Is there a name to the EP?
Probably More Love. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But,
all right.
I've got to make a decision. So maybe if people feel like weighing in, I'm open.
Okay. Find Lily, of course, on all the social medias at Lily Hayden, LILIHAYDN. Find her at lilyhayden.com. Lily, thank you so much. This has been a real treat. What a wonderful way to start a week.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you.
Blessings.
All right.
In solidarity. Yep.
You too. All right. Lily Hayden, More Love. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Broken boy, broken girl, broken heart for a broken world. Take me as I am tonight, grateful just to be. More love, more love.
love.